This already, and I was looking at the calendar this morning, and I thought I had one more Sunday than I did. I wanted to deal with Jesus cleansing the leper before Easter, but we're not going to be able to. Tuesday, we're going to get up early and drive out to California, and the shepherds conference is out there. And so next Sunday, Alan Sutton's coming back. He filled in last time. And I got such good feedback from you guys that we thought it would be a blessing to bring him back. I've known Alan since December of 1992. And the things we're looking at this morning, lessons from our Lord's life, Alan lives by. And so I know you guys are going to be blessed next week. In fact, I'll probably get some emails and text messages encouraging me to just stay out in California for a while. That's fine. But he's coming next week, God willing. And then the following week is already Palm Sunday. And so we're looking at Palm Sunday. And then that Friday, Good Friday, we'll take communion that Friday night. I like to take all of Passion Week. You know, when I was reading this morning in my Through the Bible plan, is in Mark chapter 8, just so happens. And Jesus is talking about the fires of hell. And just thinking how through faith in him, we can be spared eternal torment. The suffering that we go through in this life is as bad as it's going to get for us. And we should be continually reminded of what he's done for us. But at the very least, to take a week and just really seriously reflect upon what Christ has done for us, that we could be with him in glory. So we'll take the Lord's Supper, God willing, on Good Friday, and then we're going to have a sunrise service, and then our regular 9:30 service on Easter Sunday. So this is our last time in the book of Mark until April. But you've all turned there. I guess I'll turn there. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I have some quotes here, so I went ahead and wrote them down. But I ask you, as Tony's led the way for us, to please stand in honor of the Word of God. We'll read Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God. And Father, we lift this time up to you. We thank you for it. We thank you for your goodness to us. And this time we're able to sing songs of praise to you. And Lord, we just pray that you would fill each one of us with your Spirit. Enable me to minister your word to your sheep. And the lessons we learn from your Son. That we would just more and more have those incorporated into our lives, that we might keep the main thing the main thing. We pray for our little ones in their class next door, and for Miss D, that your Spirit would just use her to minister to them and mix them with faith and live their lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray. We mentioned this back in when we were talking about Jesus, when the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, that when Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus, being in very nature God, he emptied himself when he took upon a human nature. And when we said he didn't stop being God, God can't stop being God. The second person of the Trinity can't suddenly become mutable from being immutable. He can't change, but he did lay aside his prerogatives, his privileges, And in so doing, in his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ in his human nature relied upon the Father. He sought the Father's will in all things. And he relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit to guide him and empower him for ministry. And in so doing, he set an example for us. He's shown that it's possible to live without sin, to please God in all things. None of us does it, but the Bible says it's our own doing and it's our own sin when we don't do that. But he gives us a model in that respect, how to live in dependence upon the Holy Spirit and please God with our lives. And that's what we are looking at this morning, is how Jesus kept the main thing the main thing. Same thing we need to do. The main thing he gives us right there in verse 38, the end of verse 38. The purpose he came forth was to preach. We'll look more at his purpose as we go. But that was his purpose. And lessons I want to learn from him, I've got four S's for you this morning. The first thing is set your one priority. That's what our Lord did. There's all kinds of things that are important, and we have a hierarchy of priorities, but there's one main thing. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on toward my goal. He wanted to be conformed to the image of Christ. He wanted to be like Christ. And the main thing for Christ was he was a soul winner. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7, speaking prophetically of the Son of God, obviously, he talks about in the verses leading up to that, he talks about giving his back to the smiters, his cheeks to those who tear out his beard, and he's getting spit in his face. But he says, I know my God is going to help me. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. He determined, he set his face to do what his Father gave him to do. All kinds of needs out there. There's all kinds of needs in the church. People are always going to be pulling on you in different directions. But you only have so much time, and you need to set your face like a flint. Set your one priority. This is what God has given me. We have different giftings, different ministries, but there's one ultimate main thing, which is the building of the kingdom of God, seeing people saved. We'll look at that a little bit more in a bit. But determine what your priority is, and it's got to be based on what God wants you to do, which flows out of prayer. And so the second thing, the first thing, set your one priority. The second thing is stay in his presence. Look at verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Then he taught in their synagogues, and then he healed a demon-possessed man, and then they went to Peter's house, and then at sundown they started bringing them. Capernaum started bringing all these people, demon-possessed people, and we talked about last week, the language is saying livered on that day. Don't you know he was up late that night? He was up very, but there are circumstances that come, and his life is a worldly burning, and he went out to a solitary place to pray. Crowded to bed earlier to get up and spend some time with the Lord. The absolute are in our ministry and the lives we live. It says he went to as was used earlier, of John the Baptist out in the desert, Jesus going out in the desert to be tempted, not in Christ's case, but in our case, reflection before God. You have to get alone with, two weeks ago in our men's study, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Ed mentioned you got to have so many hours to pray, but it is to say if we make our time with God priority. One of the commentators, but he's first the Son of God, and then the servant of the Lord. And so with us, and the service will flow out of that. And it's crucial because, again, people are going to have, you don't see Jesus racing out of breath everywhere he goes. He understands crucial. You say, I don't have time for prayer. I think of it like, you know, I have so many things to do today. I'm going to have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer just to get a limited amount of time. But we need to carve out the time to be, and I'm going to get on my knees And K.P. Yohannan said this happened to him, an hour to spend with God. And he said, I got on my knees and I poured out everything on my mind to we're to time ourselves, you understand. But he said, I looked at my watch and I'd been praying 5 minutes. I wanted to share something with you that I think will be helpful. It's a blessing for me when Jesus gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer, the disciples' model prayer. And it's a model prayer for us. And again, it's not to be a rote thing, but it is to show. Martin Luther had a barber who pray like you pray. It just seems like God hears you. And so what I take the Lord's Prayer and I go through it and I say, the creator of this universe, the God of this world would make me his child for your throne of grace to bring my needs before you. And you're not just my father, you're the transcendent God. You're God in heaven. You're above and beyond all this stuff. You're revered. Lord, I want your name to be hallowed in my heart. I don't respect you like I should. Lord, may your name be hallowed throughout the land. And Luther would pray that way. Praying, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, give me a forgiving heart. To my wife, I want to be faithful to my church. Lord, deliver us. Lead us not in temptation as you're talking to God about it. And you may be having to leave for work before you even get in the habit of constantly turning your thoughts back to God. Faith is the gaze of the soul upon the saints. At the end of my day, I'm so tired. I just fall into my bed. There's three places in Mark's gospel where we read of Jesus praying here that may make him more popular, but he will no longer be doing what his father's given, God's presence. Everything else flows from that. We need his strength. Jesus said this, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, but most of us, I'm not, and ministered to orphans his whole life. And George Mueller witnessed for Christ, and he said, I kept my mouth shut. It's like, woman or the attractive young man, if your lady says something to you flattering, and the things come and we weren't expecting it at all. It's so crucial for us to live our life. Pressure. Verse 36. Simon and those who were with him looking for you, they're actually mad at him a little bit. There's a bit of a rebuke here for you. There's people to heal. Jesus, look, this, you're starting to get popular to stay there. But Peter's mentioned by name here, and actually, remember, this is Peter's Christ, and then right after that, he's telling Jesus, rebuking Jesus for saying he's going to go to the agenda. If you want to follow me, you've got to lay that aside. And it's a very important lesson. But he's also the biggest stumbling block. He loves the Lord. In the language here, when verse 37, when they said to Jesus, everyone is looking for the Holy Spirit, and when it says they're looking for you, it's never, the looking there is never a good thing. Then you, it always has the attitude, the serpent's hiss in it. They're wanting to control you, or they don't get it enough. They'll be your biggest critic after that. And they're just ignorant of what Jesus is supposed to be doing. They're ignorant. They're not just ignorant about it. They're not misinformed, but they actually want to manipulate and control disciples. He doesn't say, do you guys not see I come? And we're to gently instruct people. They're going to have an answer for it. It's one of the most wicked sins in the world. The longer it may be the wife, but to think about it, if somebody has given, and it's not a message on manipulation, so I won't go into, but there's very subtle ways we can do it. Were it miserable and they have to constantly cry out to me? You're not going to hear, well done and good and faithful servant. You don't have to violate it. And you may just flat out say, no, because I don't want to. You know, I just want you to do so. Stand against the pressure only by being in God's presence. Only by, I think, I can imagine the kinds of pressure pastors of huge churches must. I could be telling Brian something good about himself. I may just be wanting to encourage. And how he does it is interesting. I already said he gently instructs them. Tells different reasons why he came. In the Truth Project, they've placed a great emphasis on that which was lost. Or as Paul puts it, God was in Christ reconciled. You're missing the point. We want to be, 2 weeks ago, I was praying very causing Jesus to say, I'm going to move on to these other cities now. It's because of his great love. It profit a man or a woman to be healed of every infirmity and still lose their soul. Maybe, not probably, but possibly. So don't slip into this. We could be in danger of it. The spirit of the age, the zeitgeist. We forget that people are people and animals are animals. I'll just flat out put it out there. Certainly, we're to be the best environmentalists in the world, and we're to care about animals. The book of Proverbs says, a pet or mom or dad or something like that. And it's very, I love our dogs. They stay inside. And I look at my dog, and now he's hiding. He somehow knows that he's done something that's not going to make judgment for having gotten into the trash. I know they're not made in the image of God. We forget the importance of people. The world, much of the world, is just arrows. We're more valued than many birds. But remember, God was for their sins. To teach a graphic object lesson, God's willing to sacrifice all of grown up, and we're just grown up germs, as one guy put it. We're a higher than us. No, we have fallen from a great height, is what we are. We were to be benevolent rulers over his world. And we fall. Every human heart is capable of both being an apostle Paul, or that people were still made in the image of God. Even after the flood, God says, no, man still had the reformer John Calvin. Calvin says, we are ruined statues in which away and leave the man standing. It's part of our humanity. We still are in the image of God, to love and embrace them. Whatever our faults are, we see the image of God, grab someone and hug them and want them to be okay. God puts that in our hearts because, and my miracles demonstrate who I am. But the most important, that means if we're driving down the street, you're coming up Central and you see a woman who's obviously a prostitute, sleeping it off. If there's the slightest hint of our lives, is the grace of God. And that person is an image, that's a precious soul made in the image of God. I can tell you this is as Gail's heart already, but precious souls who are shattered by sin, rebels against God. C.S. Lewis, in his sermon, The Weight of Glory, he puts it this way, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we, that kind, and it is in fact the merriest kind, which exists between people who have actions with people, either help them more towards the Lord. Seeing all that, people want him to do things. People will want us to do things. And it's the gospel itself is what the people need. I mean, there's between Christians and Jews to help Jews get back to the Holy Land and things like that. But and faith in yourself. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying, I love my fellow brethren. We want you to help feed people and do things for people, but don't share Christ with them. Every one of us, because we all have different ministries. But Jesus says that, and hearing by the word of God, the preaching of the word of God shows them their need, leads them to the Savior. Jesus prayed for us, and John can read his word. But one of his primary ways of saving will be saved. If you trust in that, Christ and what he's done, you'll be saved. Aeneas and a few others, Stephanus' household. But God sent me not to baptize, but to neglect the word and prayer. As apostles, they were saying that. You have the word. What about pastors? Well, Paul tells to either in season or out of season to preach the word of God. To minister to the word of God, people will have itching issues. Remember in the book of Acts when Stephen was stoned all over the place, and it said everywhere they went, they were preaching the gospel. All Christians that Paul would do or Timothy would do, it could be translated gossip to the gospel. The practical things, but then gossiping the gospel. That is changing someone's tire or cleaning their yard. Or giving them something to eat. Actually, there's actually parallelism in this passage. Verse 35, where Jesus' presence of God, prayer. The strength has to come from him. To do all goes back to this matter of prayer. It'll be the key for everything we do. It's strange. It's very unique how the influence that Charles, he wrote down on Saturday nights. He didn't even begin preparing for Sunday morning till Saturday. But they said, you know, the pulpit at the church he preached at was sort of elevating in the Holy Spirit. And that was what it was all about. And somebody, Spurgeon, took them down to the basement of the church. And it was filled with people praying. Make your time with God a priority. Everything else will flow with that, will flow from that. Well, Father, we... But none of that compares to the example of your Son. Black is inspired as the words in red. And we have a book that you yourself, a human nature. We're seeing his personality. Lord, I pray for each one of us that in doing what you would have us do, and we know that he that you've entrusted with us, the people in our family, our friends, but seeing them in your kingdom and praying for them, that you're our Father in heaven, and are from that. And may we have the courage to stand against the pressure. And Lord, help us to serve you in the power of your Spirit. Amen. God bless you guys.